Well, you guys, I'm so excited to jump into God's Word together this morning, and we're continuing our series called How to Pray, and we're in week two, and today I want to talk to us about this idea of that's not oil, and we're going to get into that. In the Bible, oil is a representation of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is actually represented in Scripture in a lot of different things, wind, fire, a dove. You may be familiar with some of those, but oil, when it shows up in the Scripture, is a representation for God's presence, for God's Spirit. And so today, I want to talk about that's not oil and the importance of prayer in our lives. And you know, we talk about prayer all the time at Element Church. We have these little bracelets called Pray First. We talk about how prayer should be our first idea or our first step, not our last resort. And so here's the thing, you guys, prayer is so important, but some people are kind of, I know as I talk about this stuff that sometimes people are kind of internally, and maybe it's you today, you're kind of like, Pastor Scott, come on, why is this so important? And there's so many ways I could answer that question, but I wanted to get it a little bit different today with an analogy, and hopefully it'll make sense to you. So in preparation for today, I was actually watching some videos online, some YouTube videos, and the ideas of these videos were that they took car engines, they drained the oil out of the engines, and then they ran the engines until they could not be run any longer. And it was actually interesting because I watched two different videos specifically. I watched a bunch, but watched two specifically that kind of grabbed my attention. And one of them was a gentleman driving the car, and it actually was, you know, clunking and making all these noises, and it eventually just seized up and literally kind of it welded itself together. It just seized up and seized out. The car pulled over to the side in the grass. And that was it. The other one, they actually had the engine in kind of a lab set up, and it was hooked to different things where it could continue to operate. And they ran that engine so hard, you guys, that it actually, the pipes that were coming off of it turned red hot. They were metal and they were red, and they actually exploded. They just blew metal right out the side. There was fire. There was flame. It was crazy. It exploded. And so what's interesting is if you take an engine and you drain the oil out of it, you either get it seized up and it actually is kind of hung up, it's frozen on the side of the road, or the other video was it actually exploded. There was shrapnel, and there was metal, and there was fire. And I really started thinking about how that actually represents our lives, that when we get RPMing, when we get going, and we don't have the presence of God, we don't have the oil of the Holy Spirit in our lives, one of two things is going to happen, you guys. It's just a matter of time until we're driving that car and it seizes up and we've got to pull over into the grass, or it gets so hot and there's just an explosion and there's shrapnel absolutely everywhere. And I don't know for you, but in 2020, 2021, the kind of the RPMs of the COVID season and the political tensions and the racial tensions, and by the way, that hasn't stopped, you guys. If you, I mean, you're living it just like I'm living it. There's mass shootings, and the politics stuff is still going. There's an Eastern European war. There is a cultural attitude that is changing toward the church. And so the RPMs, you guys, are picking up. And I don't say all that to scare us. I just say that to point us soberly to our need, ready, for oil. We need oil in the engine. And you guys, the RPMs of life right now, I don't know where you're at. Maybe you feel seized up on the side of the road and stuck, and you're just like, you've just been over. You're just like, I'm exhausted. I'm done. I'm just burned out. And my engine has seized up, and I've just got the hazard lights on, and I'm froze. I'm stuck. Or maybe you're like, man, I'm just blowing up. I got shrapnel all over the place, and I go to work. I go to school. I go home to my family, and it is just, the pipes are hot. And there is metal flying out of the sides. And I don't know for you what it is, but here's the thing. If you run the engine, if you run your life without the oil of God's presence, you're either going to seize up or blow up, or you're going to get some oil. And so today I want to talk about the need for prayer, because prayer in His presence, that's where we get the oil. That's where the oil comes from. And without the presence of God and with prayer, guys, we're going to seize up or blow up. That's it. It's just a matter of time. And you know, when I started those two videos, I knew one thing. When I hit play at the beginning of the video, I knew it was just a matter of minutes. Again, in the video, maybe that's shortened the timeline, but it was just a matter of time before those things blew up. Just a matter of time before those things blew up. And I want to remind us today that we're living in a new type of Christianity. We are living in a new era of the church. And I believe, and as my pastor has said, is that easy Christianity is the thing of the past. Now, that we never set out for easy Christianity. That was never like something that we tried to do. That was never something that was probably a goal of yours or a goal of mine. But I know that in some ways, we actually had a cultural positioning in which it was kind of easy to be a Christian. And I think that as we continue on this journey, it's going to become increasingly hard for us to carry a Christian witness. And I don't share that to be scary. I share that to be sobering so that we know what to do. It's just basically like saying, hey, if you're running the engine and it's running hard and it's running hot, it's like you better have some oil or we're going to seize up or we're going to blow up. It's just a matter of time. So, you know, Jesus talked to us about this. He actually, I know that this is not a perfect hermeneutic. Jesus wasn't talking about engines and oil, but he was talking about the oil of God's presence or God's Spirit. He was talking about the idea of having oil for a lamp in the Old Testament, or I'm sorry, in the New Testament. He was talking about having oil in the lamp and being prepared. And he was actually referencing the end times. So, you know, kind of talking, this is Jesus kind of prophetically talking up the road about the times that we're living in. Now, I'm not making a prophetic claim that we're at the very end. The Bible says no one will know. We don't know exactly when the end times are, but we know this, we're closer to them than when Jesus said this. And he was talking about times up the road that would be hard and challenging and what people needed to do to stay connected to the kingdom. Open your Bible to Matthew 25. I'm going to read a couple verses here. Matthew 25, 1 through 2, this is Jesus talking. He says this, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and they went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five of them were wise. I'll continue on. The foolish ones took their lamps, but they did not take any oil with them. So they all got lamps. And in the olden days, back then, you would have a clay lamp. You would fill it with oil and there would be a wick that would come out. You'd light it and that wick would burn as long as you kept the wick trimmed and you had oil in the lamp. And when the oil ran out of the lamp and you had no more oil, then the flame went out. It says this, Matthew 25, verse 3, the foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Now, this is a picture of us in the church. Jesus is actually saying, this is what the kingdom's like. This is what it's like. This is what it's going to be like in the, and he was, again, referencing the kind of times like we're living in. He was like, this is what it's going to be like. It's going to be like there's 10 people, which is kind of a biblical analogy for a large group of people, a population. And he says, there's going to be people that actually are preparing themselves, and they keep oil in the lamps. And then there's going to be half the people. I don't think he's trying to put percentages on this, but I guess he did put a percentage on it, but that's aside from the point. He's like, look, there's going to be some people that have oil and some people that don't. There's going to be some people that are foolish and some people that are wise. And the difference in that is actually the preparedness of the oil. Let me keep reading here. It says the bridegroom, I read this, was a long time in coming and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. And again, this is a picture of us kind of getting lulled into business as usual, life as usual. Hey, life's hard. Hey, this is a grind. And just kind of becoming weary and drowsy and falling asleep. We'll go to verse 6. It says this, at midnight, the cry rang out. Here comes the bridegroom. Here comes God. He's on the way. Come out to meet him. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise ones, are you guys catching? Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. No, they replied. There may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. Put a little pin in that, for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. A couple observations of this, and I tip my hat to my pastor, Pastor Matt Keller, who shared some of this with me recently. A few observations from the story is that when life gets hard, we need to keep oil in our lamps. Now, this is very obvious, but when the RPMs of that engine get going, you're either going to seize up or you're going to blow up, or you're gonna get oil. And when the times get, when they get rocking, man, and they are rocking, man, guys, we gotta keep oil in our lamps. We cannot get drowsy and weary. We gotta keep oil in our lamps. So when life gets hard, we need to keep oil in our lamps. So Jesus is, again, prophetically speaking of the days that we're in, and he's basically saying the closer we get to the return of Jesus, the more the kingdom is going to need for us to keep oil in our lamps. In the last days, we're going to need extra oil. Let me just say, in the last days, we're going to need extra oil. And I'm saying that, but really Jesus is saying that. He's saying, listen, as this thing goes forward, the closer you get to the end, here's what you're going to need to know. You're going to need extra Holy Spirit. You're going to need more anointing. You're going to need more oil. And hey, don't get weary and fall asleep and forget that you need to keep your lamps burning with fresh oil. And Jesus makes it clear that there will be wise people in this kind of analogy, this parable, and there will be foolish people in this parable. And the wise and foolish, the division is not determined by strength or wisdom or money or class or beauty or status or smarts or effort or any of that. The distinction between wise and foolish has to do with whether you have oil. It's like if you take a car engine and you say, there's going to be five that have oil, they're wise. And there's going to be five that the oil's drained and they're going to run and they're either going to seize up or blow up. And that's the distinction. Five have oil, five don't have oil. Wise is determined by our oil reserves. It's our ability to keep oil in our lamps. Now, I want to take a little pause and I want to tell you something just matter-of-factly. Church matters to me. God's church matters to me. The bride of Christ matters to me. Can I tell you, other than my personal relationship with him and my family, there is nothing that matters to me more than the church of Jesus Christ. This is what I do. This is what I sacrifice for. This is what I bleed for. This is what I do. It's what I am called to do. And you go, yeah, you're a pastor. No, you missed. Listen, what I give to this isn't about a job. It's not about a paycheck. It's not. It is about a calling and a burden and a conviction. And that calling, burden, and conviction is not for vocational pastors. It's for the sons and daughters of the King who will look at what the world is doing and look at what the church needs to be doing and say, listen, there's five wise and five foolish. We got to get oil in the lamps. We got to keep the presence of God in the middle of this thing, you guys, or all of the engines are going to blow. And I don't share that to be apocalyptic. I don't share that to be scary. I share that to be sobering and inviting to say, guys, we gotta keep oil in the lamps. And the church is a mechanism, and I would say biblically the mechanism by which God says, this is the rotation, this is the rhythm, this is the community by which you will keep oil in the lamps. And of course, we know that we are saved by grace through faith, that we make a personal decision to surrender life to Jesus. That's done on an individual basis, but being involved in the community is something that is not optional. And again, so just kind of a little sidebar for a second, church matters to me. And if church matters to you, I want to challenge you for this next season. Man, let the church matter to you. Let it bleed in you. Let the conviction grip you. Guys, we need more passion. We need more oil. We need more Holy Spirit. We need more anointing. We need the presence of God in our engines. We need fresh oil. And so I just want to challenge you with that, and I want to encourage you with that. Man, get involved in a church. If you're not involved in a church, get involved in a church and just pour your life in. Just go after it and just fill up on the oil of God in the middle of that community. Another thought from the parable here is that nobody can bring oil for you. So we need oil when the times are tough, we need oil, but no one can bring oil for you. It's interesting that there was five without oil and five with oil, and the five without oil go to the ones with oil and say, give us some of your oil. And the five wise, they say this. They go, nope, that's not how this works, homie. I mean, it's not exactly what it says in the scripture. But basically, they're like, look, that ain't how it works. I can't give you my oil. Doesn't work like that. You have to go and you have to get your own oil. That's how this works. You got to bring your own oil. That's how this is set up. And Jesus is telling us that hey, you've got to be the one to go get your oil. And that is the distinction between the wise and the foolish. Jesus says lamps will go out, darkness will move in, simply because we don't know how to keep our oil reserves in good supply. We don't know how to go get our own oil. We saw this in the pandemic, didn't we? We saw that the pandemic hit. We saw that a lot of things hit. But what we saw is statistically, what we see is that 1/3 of the body of Christ is gone. They're not in the church anymore. And here's the thing. I'm not saying that if you're not attending a local church that you cannot be saved. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. That's a whole different sermon. We could get into that. I'm not going to get into that today. But here's the point. The point is that in the pandemic, 1/3 of the local church scattered and never came back. And I want to propose to you that maybe it's because there were some people that didn't know how to fill their own lamp up with oil. And can I not throw a stone that direction? Can I just say, guys, I know for me, I struggle with that sometimes myself as a pastor. I know you probably do too if you're honest about it. Here's the thing. This is not a judgment sesh. This is an invitation session to say we need to soberly examine the engine and say, do I have oil? We need to soberly examine our lamps and say, am I keeping the oil flowing in my life? Because nobody else can go get oil for me. You got to bring your own. And you know, again, 1/3 of the people that didn't come back to the church, it's like maybe we didn't know how to get our own oil. We knew how to listen to online sermons. We knew how to worship with other people who their oil's full, their lamp is full, but we never learned how to actually fill our own lamp with oil because no one can go get oil for you. I shared a message a little while back in a series that we did called Slow Down Spirituality. And I talked about the idea of being a spiritual parasite. And I know that's a kind of an interesting analogy and maybe could even feel a little bit negative. But if you'll hang with me for just a second, I think it's really, really powerful. And I know it was for me. And by the way, the Holy Spirit spoke it to me for me. So if you know, I could take the edge off of you a little bit there. But the idea of a parasite is that it lives off of a host. A parasite actually typically latches on to a host and then drains life off of the host. Now, the problem with being a parasite is that when the host actually dies or leaves or you get disconnected from the host, you die. That's the problem. And here's the thing. You can actually have the host die. We've had some ministries and churches, the hosts have died over the last couple of years. And there's people that were hooked. They were hooked into that mechanism. And there were other people who had oil and were lighting the lamps. But then there was people connected to that. They weren't getting their own oil. And so when the host died, the parasite dies. And you know, we need the ability to be able to hook into Jesus. Because Jesus doesn't die. He died on the cross, but then he rose again to eternal life. And he sits at the right hand of the Father praying for you and praying for me. And he is life eternal. And he invites us to experience that. And we're to connect into him. He says, you go get your oil from me. You get the oil from me. You come get it from me. You get the oil. Don't hook to some other thing. And here's the deal. There's nothing wrong with spiritual things. I love spiritual things. I love worshiping with Maverick City. I love worshiping with Carrie Job. I love worshiping with Elevation and all these things. I love listening to online sermons. I'm glad you're listening to one right now. And I love that you're listening to my voice. And I pray that God is speaking to you through me and keep doing it. But this alone right here, this exchange is not enough. I can't fill your lamp for you. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. I can help. I can serve. I believe God's given me a gift and I want to use it to try to help you. But ultimately, no one can get your oil for you. You can't hook to a host. You got to go to Jesus. You got to go to God for yourself. Matthew 7:21 through 23 says this: "Not everybody who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Hey, Jesus, didn't we go to church? Hey, Jesus, but I listened to that awesome worship song over and over and over again. It was so great. The oil was just flowing. It was awesome. Jesus, I went to church. I mean, I did the thing." Verse 23, "Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" God's like, look, you have to go get the oil. It's not about hooking to a spiritual host. It's about hooking to God and getting your own oil. Because when the lamps come out without the oil, the darkness moves in. When the engines come out without the oil, we seize up or we blow up. You guys, we're going to seize up or blow up, or we're going to get oil. And you know what? Oil, we got to keep the lamps full, and we got to go get our own oil. The five said, hey, wise, hey, give me some of your oil. I said, nah, that's not how it works, homie. You got to go get your own oil. Do we know God or live off of spiritual things? And I pray that will be a challenge for you today. I know it's a challenge for me as well. With the rest of the time that we have, I want to ask you this: is how do we keep the oil flowing? And these are going to be pretty basic ideas, and I'm going to move through them fairly quickly, but I just want to give you a couple of these ideas because I think they're really important. How do we keep access to the oil? How do we keep the oil of God's presence flowing in our life? Number one is private communion with God, you and him. And again, the church actually supports that, and the church actually completes that or fulfills that. But it's you and him, and you've got to have that because no one else can give you the oil. Listen, we can't just pour out and pour out and pour out in our life and not have the inflow back in. In Luke 5:16, it says this in the New Living Translation. It says, "But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer." Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. There has never been a human that poured out like Jesus poured out. Never been one. Not you, not me, not the president, nobody. Nobody poured out the way Jesus poured out. But what we see in Jesus' life is that he was often withdrawing to get poured into. That he was often in a place where he was privately communing with God, him and the Father. And he was talking and he was pouring out his burdens and then he was receiving back in the oil of God's presence and spirit, the peace of God, the love of God, the joy of God. In the middle of the RPMs, in the middle of the trial and the challenges, the invitation to seize up and to blow up, the oil is flowing. The oil is flowing. The oil is flowing. And every day, you guys, we've got to prioritize the presence of God every single day. I know this is true for you. I know it's true for me. That my mind and my heart do not stay renewed any longer than my hair stays combed. And I know that we've got to daily be seeking the Lord. God, how do you think about this? God, how do you feel about that? God, how do you see me? God, help me see you more clearly. God, what about that situation at work? God, let me pray for my wife and my kids. God, I can't do this by myself. God, this engine needs oil to run. And you know, here's the thing, you guys, we've got to have daily time set aside to receive that oil, or you know what? It seize up or blow up. Just a matter of time. Hit the play button on the YouTube video. Just a matter of time. Just a matter of time. That's why at Element, one of the things we try to do to help serve you guys with this is that we soap. That's scripture, observation, application, and prayer. You can get our app. You can actually go, and there's a Bible reading plan. We read one chapter of the Bible each day together, and we read it on our own time, but we all read the same chapter. And then we actually, most of us journal about that chapter. It's you can go look it up on our website. I've got teaching on this, SOAP, S-O-A-P, scripture, observation, application, prayer. But we do that as a church. We soap together. We soap. We read God's word together every single day. Download the app down in the right hand corner. There's a little Bible tab. Click that and you can read along with us if you click on the little calendar button. So we soap together. The other thing that we do is we actually seek God together. And twice a year, we do what we call 21 days of prayer. We're actually in it right now. And we just set these times aside to say these are intentional periods of time where it isn't that we just seek God in these moments. It's that these are primers. These are kickstarts. These are things that get us going for the next season. And so if you are not involved right now, I want to challenge you, man, get involved right now. Seriously, pause the video, whatever you got to do. Go to our website, theelement.church/21days. It's in the main browser bar. There's also a button right under the main header there. You can go and find it all over the place. You can go to the app and there's a tile there. Man, join the group so we can send you the info and get involved. Soaping, seeking God, prayer, 21 days of prayer. You guys, how do we keep the oil flowing? Private communion with God. You and him, nobody else can get the oil for you. Number two, how to keep the oil flowing is personal disciplines. To have that private time with God. Here's the thing, disciplines, they keep us when emotion and motivation wane. And if you're anything like me, emotion and motivation, they wane like crazy, especially when the RPMs pick up, especially when things start getting hot. Man, it wanes. Disciplines keep us when we don't want to. And you know, even recently, I've even been praying. There's been some times where I'm like, God, I pray, God, that you will continue to put in me the desire to seek you. But when that desire is not there, the discipline keeps it going. You know, for years, I've talked about this, but my wife and I, we have a rhythm of a date night. And you know, the thing is that date night shows up on the calendar, whether we planned it or not, it comes along. And you know what? There are times when we miss it, but here's the thing. It's on the calendar and it repeats as a rhythm, as a discipline. And there's some times when I am just, you know, I wake up and I'm like, I can't wait to go on a date with my wife today. And I just feel it. And there's emotion and there's passion and there's motivation. And then there's times when the RPMs are churning and it's just like the discipline of that being on the calendar comes up. And then we sit down and we look each other in the face. Hey, how you doing? And I want to challenge you with the same kind of idea. You guys, keep the lamps burning. Keep the lamps burning. Put the disciplines in. Church. Once a week, go to church, minimum. Get there, be there, bring your kids, bring your spouse. Do it, get involved, be in the church. It's God's family, it's God's community. Be in the church, it's a discipline. And there are times we feel it, and there's times that we do not. The Bible reading plan, soaping, a prayer plan. I've talked about it last week. Intentional friendships, connecting your money to the kingdom, giving, tithing, it's a discipline. It's a spiritual practice, connecting energy and service and my gifting to the kingdom of God by serving other people, serving in the church, joining Team Element. These are ways that we discipline ourselves when our emotion and our motivation wane. Number three, how do we keep the oil moving is a rhythm of rest and restoration in his presence. And here's the thing, this is a discipline as well, but we got to set some things up on rhythm and routine. You know, some of us are just so exhausted. We couldn't hear God if we tried to. And, you know, it's like, oh, well, go take a nap. It's like, no, take a vacation. That's way bigger than a nap and a vacation. It's interesting because in the Bible, there's actually a pattern where we are supposed to take a Sabbath every 6 days, every seventh day. We're supposed to take a day of rest. This is different than just, you know, going on a vacation or taking a nap. This is actually an intentional time that's set aside to remind ourselves, you're God and I'm not. I produce, but I stop producing and I trust you, God, to produce more in 6 days than I could in seven. Or if you don't produce, help me produce more in 6 days than in seven. I'm going to trust you that whatever the delta is, the gap is, that you're going to show me who you are in the gap. God, because there's something about resting. It's a day of ceasing from work. It's a day of resting. It's a day to delight. The way we say it in the Hayes House is this. It's a day to stop, to rest, and to delight in God's gifts and to God in God and in his gifts to us. And so here's the deal. There's a difference between rest and restoration. It's not the same thing. You can rest on a vacation. You can rest on a nap, but you can rest watching a movie, but you're not restoring yourself on Netflix. It's not how that works, because rest and restoration are different things. A vacation is rest, but not restoration. A movie's rest, but not restoration. And the difference between rest and restoration is actually God's presence. It's God's presence. And you know, I was watching, again, another video. I was watching these engine videos with oil and whatever. And there's a guy who bought a used lawnmower. And he was trying to get it going. He finally got it going, and then it shut off immediately. And when he opened up the oil compartment, someone had put something other than oil in the engine, in the lawnmower. And it was funny because he pulled, like, the little dipstick thing out, and he looked at it, and he was like, "That's not oil. That's not oil." And I actually was thinking about, I actually named the sermon "That's Not Oil." Because here's the idea is, when we're looking at our engines, you guys, I feel like if you pull the little dipstick out of your life and you looked at it, it's like, that's not oil. It's like, that's rest, but that's not restoration. Hey, Netflix for 3 hours a night, that's not oil. Video games, that's not oil. It's the, hey, nothing wrong with video games, nothing wrong with Netflix. It's just, that's not oil. Maybe it's other people. Maybe it's success in your work. Maybe it's, you don't know what else to do, but you know that at work you can win. And so it's, you know, the measurables or the objectives are clear. So it's like, well, I'm go do that. I mean, loving my spouse, loving my kids, this long game, I'm doing my best, but I don't really know what to do with that. But over here I can win. So maybe it's just leaning into, hey, that's not oil. That's not oil. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's fame. You go, what do you mean fame? Well, that's a weird word. Yes, we have something called social media where we do all sorts of crazy stuff for clicks and likes. And, you know, they've actually done research on this. That actually drives, there's chemical endorphins. There's chemical things that happen in our body when we get a like on social media. But, hey, guess what? That's not oil. That's not oil. That's not restoration. There ain't no restoration on Facebook and YouTube and Instagram and TikTok. Again, none of those. I'm on most of those platforms, but it's not restoration because that's not oil. Only the Holy Spirit is oil. Only the presence of the Father is oil. And we read Matthew 7 where he said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." It's knowing the Father. That's the oil, you guys. It's Psalm 23, 1 through 3. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Another translation says, "I lack nothing." "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." He restores my soul. Who restores our soul? He restores our soul. To lie down in green pastures. Sheep only lie down in green pastures when they're full. Otherwise, you're eating the green pastures. So sheep only are led beside still waters and not drinking when they're full, when they're satisfied. Otherwise, they're drinking. "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." He is my oil. He is your oil. Hey, when you pull the dipstick of your life, that's not oil. He is the oil. He's the restorer. There's the difference between rest and restoration. It's him. It's him. He's the difference. So where in your life are you putting something in your engine that's not oil? Hey, it's not going to restore you. It's that's not oil. That's not oil. And so what I want to do as we close is I actually want to remind us that when there's not oil in the engine, you guys, if we're going to seize up or blow up, the lamp's going to go out and the darkness is going to move in and no one can bring that oil for you. It is time for you to assess and say, "God, I'm coming to you to get the oil. I need the oil of the Holy Spirit, of your presence." And here's what I'd like to do today as we close. I can't go get the oil for you, but I can lead you in a moment where you can go get it from him. In Acts 3:19, it says, "Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out and times of refreshing, restoration may come from the Lord." I'm going to pray over you and I'm going to lead you in a prayer and we're going to do some confession and repenting. Just literally means to turn around and go the other direction. We're going to repent and we're going to turn to God. We're going to ask him for his empowerment. We're going to ask him for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. We're going to ask for fresh oil and I'm going to pray over you. So would you bow your head, close your eyes, and I want to lead you in some prayer. Father, we thank you for this moment right now. God, we thank you for this time. God, we thank you that you've given us the ability to fill our engines with oil, with your presence, with who you are. God, Acts 3:19 says, repent then and turn to God. So God, right now, I lead everybody within the sound of my voice in a prayer of confession and repentance. God, right now we come to you, and God, we just come honestly, and we come simply, and we come humbly to you right now. And God, we confess to you, we've been filling our engines with things that are not oil. That's not oil. For every single one of us, we know maybe what those things are, what things come to our heart, what things come to our mind in a moment just like this. But right now, God, we are honestly coming before you, and we simply come to you. And Father, we just make a confession. God, we've put things in the engine that are not oil. And God, we're sorry. And God, we know there's no refreshing there. God, there's no restoration there. Only you are the one, God, who can restore. So only you are the one that can bring peace. Only you are the one that can bring true joy. So God, we confess that we've put our hope in things that will not satisfy. And God, we repent of it. We turn around and we head back the other way. And God, we turn to you. Just like the promise in Acts 3 says, God, we repent and then we turn around and we come to you. And God, I thank you that our sins are wiped out. I pray right now for forgiveness of sin for every person that just made that confession and repentance prayer. Whatever it's been, God, your grace is rushing in, and grace is divine forgiveness, but it's also divine empowerment. So God, right now, I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you that you're cleansing slates, that you're wiping debts clean. God, you're white as snow, God, just white as snow. God, your spirit is coming in and just bringing forgiveness and redemption and restoration. God, thank you for coming in and doing your work in us. Holy Spirit, we say yes. Come, we turn to you. Come and speak to us. Come and forgive us. Come and do your work in us. God, come, we turn to you. And God, just like Acts 3 says that as we turn to you, our sins are wiped out, that times of refreshing may come. So right now, I pray, God, over us. God, we ask for your divine empowerment and help. God, teach us how to put oil in the engine. God, keep us, teach us how to keep the lamps full of oil. God, show us how to go get the oil from you. Holy Spirit, we want a relationship with you. We don't want to just do the stuff. We don't want to be spiritual parasites hooked on to other spiritual things. We want to be abiding in you, God. We want to be with you. We want to know you. We want to long for you and burn for you. God, we want to be with you wherever you are. So God, right now, I pray that you would put that burn and that passion in us. God, we're living in a time and in an age and in a culture, God, where the RPMs of the engine are moving fast. And God, so many of us feel seized up or blown up right now. I pray for a fresh empowerment of the Spirit over every single person within the sound of my voice. God, come and do your work. Empower, breathe, God. Put fresh wind in the sails. God, fill our engines full of your presence, God, your oil. And God, I ask right now for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. God, I pray for every single person with the sound of my voice, God, a spirit of wisdom and revelation that you would be coming. And God, right now, we just remind ourselves of who you are. God, bring a revelation, a wisdom that we could see you clearly. God, we want to know who you are in all of your power and all of your goodness and all of your holiness and all of your purity. God, show us truly who you are. God, you are our Father. God, you are our banner of victory over sin and defeat. You are our hope. God, you are our joy. God, you are our joy in the darkness. You are our light in the dark place. God, you are our salt of the earth. God, you are the city on a hill. God, you are the light that shines out from under the basket. We know that you've called us to be all of those things, but God, you do that in us. God, you are our comforter and our healer. God, you're a provider. God, you are the one that cares for us. God, you are the one, God, who created all things, including me and including your sons and daughters. God, you put the breath in the lungs that you made. And as we breathe today, we remind ourselves of who you are, and we call you holy. You are holy, holy, holy. God, we long to be where you are. God, show us who you are. Let us see where you're working and where you're moving. God, bring restoration. God, bring refreshing. Fresh oil, fresh anointing, fresh longing to be with you. And God, I just thank you, God, for every single person today. I pray that as we've come to you and we've been taught and reminded today, that's not oil. God, that place in our life, that's not oil. Thank you, God, for filling us up afresh with your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. And just, it's still in a spirit of prayer. If you've never started a relationship with Jesus and you want to do that, just pray this with me. Say, God, come into my life. I believe Jesus is your son, that he died on a cross and paid for every sin I've ever committed. Right now, I just make a confession that Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. Come in and fill me up with your presence. Thank you for forgiving every sin, every wrong that I've ever done. And thank you for walking with me. God, I want to walk with you. I don't want to fill my engine with things that are not oil any longer. Thank you for filling me up today. Thank you for a fresh tank today. Thank you for your empowerment today. Thank you for your peace today. Thank you for your joy today. God, thank you for who you are and inviting me into your kingdom. I'll be with you forever in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Hey, if you prayed that prayer with us today, would you text the keyword element to 97,000 and let us know? There's a box on there that says, I made a commitment to Jesus today. We would love to hear from you. And there's a prayer request form on that same form. If you need prayer for anything, put it in there. We will pray for you. Put it in there. And you know, even if you just want us to know that this message impacted your life in some way, man, let us know. We would love to hear from you. And here's what I want to ask you to do as we go into a time of worship. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, would you come? And would you just continue to minister to my heart? Fill me with fresh oil. Guys, let's go and let's pursue his presence. Nobody can get the oil for you, but we can lead you into a time of worship and you can go get it with him. Keep it simple. Keep it honest. Keep it up. Let's get into his presence.